I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network. Milwaukee, as some of you may know, and soon many of you will know, has a lead problem, and it's going to cost the city a lot of money, and it could conceivably take about 50 years to fix. There's a new public policy forum report that was released early in May that we'll be talking about and looking at a number of issues, including the lead service lines connecting public water mains to private homes and buildings. The city alone has 40% of the state's lead service lines, and it's one of thousands in the nation with lead poisoning worse than Flint, Michigan. That's according to a Reuters investigation. So what is the problem? Why is it so widespread? How much is it going to cost? And how in the world are we going to pay for it? We have two guests with us this hour. Rob Henken has joined us before. Rob is the president of the Public Policy Forum and worked in Milwaukee County government for a number of years. Director of Research for the County Board, Director of Health and Human Services, Director of Administrative Services. He's also directed two nonprofit organizations in this city, the Alliance for Future Transit and the Milwaukee Jobs Initiative, and he worked for 7 years on Capitol Hill as a senior aide to two congressmen and a staff director for House of Representatives Foreign Affairs Subcommittee. So I bet that's not even half of it. You've been busy.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, you have. Thank you so much, Rob, for being with us again. Also joining us is Joshua Schneer. And Joshua has been an enterprise reporter at Reuters since 2009. He's been covering pieces on childhood lead poisoning, corporate whistleblowing in the oil and gas industry. He has worked as a correspondent in Brazil and also in Venezuela. And Reuters did a very interesting piece. He did this piece on the problem of lead poisoning in cities all over the country. It is titled "The Thousands of U.S. Locales Where Lead Poisoning is Worse than Flint." And one of the cities that is highlighted is the city of Milwaukee. Joshua, thank you very much for being with us. Hello.
Thanks, Kathleen. Happy to be here.
Thank you. Very nice to have you with us. It almost appears, we must have known about this for a long period of time, Rob, but now we're getting major reports and work is being done. This was a situation that was not good for the city for a long time. Why are we just uncovering it?
Well, it's true that we've known for a long time that a substantial portion of the service lines owned by the Milwaukee Water Works are composed of lead, about 45%. That's 76,000 service lines. 70,000 of those are connecting to residential establishments. But really, until recently, there wasn't as great an awareness of the public health threat. I think it was certainly the Flint, Michigan situation that raised that awareness. And again, I don't want to make pretend that we didn't know that. Obviously, for many, many years, as I'm sure our other guest will attest to, we've known that exposure to lead, particularly for children, is extremely dangerous. Lead in the water supply is something that obviously can't happen. Here in Milwaukee, we were treating our water with chemicals that were designed to prevent any lead particles from leaching from the lead pipes into the water supply. The waterworks has done frequent testing. And so I don't think that this can be characterized by any means as a public health crisis. But I think the situation also is such that in an ideal world, you want to get rid of your lead service lines. And with 76,000, given the cost of that, given the magnitude of just the disruption to the city of Milwaukee, if we ever did want to replace all of those in an expedited fashion, that's a pretty large challenge.
Mm-hmm. And are lead service lines the major problem as you look at other cities that you've investigated, Joshua?
Lead service lines are certainly among them, but perhaps the leading risk, and I think in Milwaukee the health commissioner might echo this, is still lead paint in buildings. Mm-hmm. And lead paint that was painted on before lead paint was banned in 1978, and that now might be crumbling or peeling and exposing children to lead dust or paint chips. Particularly children around ages 1 and 2, where they're already crawling around and mobile, but they still have hand-to-mouth behavior. So certainly lead service lines is a concern. So is paint. In some cases, so is a contaminated soil from the legacy of lead in gasoline that we had for decades.
When you talked about the water situation maybe not being a public health crisis, are we sure of that, Rob?
You know, Kathleen, and we took great pains in the report that we did to point out that we are not public health professionals and we are not scientists. So we talked to as many people as we could, including the public health commissioner in the city of Milwaukee. The danger is that to the extent that the pipes can be rattled, whether from a nearby street construction project, whether because the water main that connects to the lead service line is undergoing work, to the extent that that could cause the lead particles to become detached, that is certainly a very big problem. And so that's the danger. The other danger is that these pipes are just old. But I think in terms of the testing that has been done on the water, I think the feeling is certainly that the water in the city of Milwaukee is safe. Though I would also say to you that the public health department and the mayor have urged citizens who have lead service lines connecting to their homes, or this can even be a matter of having lead pipes within your own home, which has nothing to do with the Milwaukee Water Works, that there's filters that can be purchased that will certainly, if not negate, ameliorate the public health, potential public health risks. There's other things you can do in terms of running the water, et cetera. Again, not a crisis, but something that certainly is on the radar screen in a very big way in terms of City of Milwaukee's public officials when they're looking at their infrastructure needs.
Mm-hmm. And when you, Joshua, which you have done, compare the water situation in Flint, Michigan, which we're all very aware of, with what's going on with these service pipes in the city of Milwaukee and in other cities, is it a comparable situation or not?
I wouldn't say it's comparable. You know, the Flint situation was so scandalous. The public officials there decided to switch the water source to a more corrosive source of water. That was the Flint River in 2014. They did so and then neglected to treat the water with anti-corrosion agents. And that was a predicating factor for unleashing lead from aging and old pipes there. So they screwed up and, you know, people have been indicted for it. In Milwaukee's case, I think health officials are well aware of the risks. Water testing is done on a regular basis, and but what they know is that, you know, here you have these thousands and thousands of lead service lines. It would cost potentially billions of dollars over many decades to replace them all, and I think they do have some plans in the works to do that. But it is a long-term project, and these risks may remain in the interim. Mm.
And it's true not only of Milwaukee, I would imagine.
Certainly not only true of Milwaukee, and in fact, elevated blood lead tests are common throughout many areas of Wisconsin. Milwaukee does stand out. I believe in recent years the rate among children tested of elevated blood lead levels is something around 9%. Throughout the state of Wisconsin, it's more like 4.5%. The national average is about 2.5%. So we're looking just at a baseline across Wisconsin that is about double the rate of the national average. And, you know, clearly that is in part because there are plenty of old homes, plenty mm-hmm. of old infrastructure and lead service lines throughout Wisconsin. This is a problem that we see in many Midwestern and East Coast cities with older or aging infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. Do you know why they used lead in all of these pipes? What's the reason for it, Rob?
I think it was just the standard. There was not a widespread recognition of the danger. Lead lasts a long time, and so this was just the material that was being used. It's interesting because we took a look not only at the lead service lines, but at the array of infrastructure that delivers water to people's homes. And in the case of the water mains, which is again, has nothing to do with public health implications, but in terms of a big cost for the Milwaukee Water Works that adds to the challenge of dealing with the lead service lines, they have found that the water mains that actually were installed between 1872 and 1945 are in better shape
really?
Than water mains that were installed in the next 20-year period.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So, again, technology has advanced. We've become much more aware of things like this. The challenge is finding the wherewithal to replace. When you think of the billions of dollars that we spent to install infrastructure, infrastructure over time. Now that it needs to be replaced, this cost is just exorbitant. And here we have a situation where the need to replace lead service lines is competing with local roads and bridges, water mains, buildings, et cetera.
Yeah. So why do we have a problem? Joshua was talking about the problem being more significant, 9% here in Milwaukee, whereas 4.5% in the rest of the state. Have the communities in the rest of the state been able to switch their, put more money into all of this and switch the pipes?
There has been a more aggressive effort in some municipalities across the state to go in and replace the lead service lines prior to the Flint situation and prior to the broader awareness. Again, just because we've known for quite some time that, that lead is obviously a very big public health concern. So there have been communities that have been more regularly replacing lead service lines. Up until recently, to the extent that leaks were to develop in a service line or a water main, the waterworks would often repair the leak instead of replace the lead service line. City of Milwaukee has officially changed that policy as of January 1st of this year, so that when leaks or damage is discovered in terms of these service lines, that a full replacement will take place as opposed to a repair.
And you highlight, this is a related kind of thing, but the problem of lead in young children ingesting lead. You write about some places in Milwaukee where you interviewed families who have been significantly adversely affected by lead paint, Joshua.
Yeah, well, I'm originally from Wisconsin, and then I recently did a reporting trip to Milwaukee. I guess it was late last year. I visited the north side. I visited lots of places around town, but spoke with several families on the north side and met with one. He's now a young adult who was poisoned as a child from lead paint in a rental home, kind of in disrepair in that area. And the effects of his lead poisoning have unfortunately stuck with him, as they often do for children affected by lead. Ever since, he has attention deficit disorder, he has outbursts of anger, he hasn't been able to hold down a job, he's on disability. These are things that are common among children who ingest lead as children. There's no clinical treatment for, you know, you could call it low level but still significant exposure. Clinical treatment is only available when you have really acute lead poisoning, but the effects of ingesting lead as a child can last a lifetime. Mm-hmm. So that's a sad story, and we met with people in several neighborhoods of Milwaukee who had similar stories to tell.
Has that problem been rectified to a large extent in cities all over the country?
You know, a few things. I mean, one, major progress has been made in combating lead poisoning in recent decades. So the levels that the CDC looks at and said that's an elevated level today are far lower than the lead levels that they might have looked at 20 or 30 years ago and would have caused concern. But in those intervening years, a huge amount of research has shown that even lower level exposure can have a lifelong impact on children. So yes, average lead levels in the blood of U.S. children is down by a lot since those big measures like removing lead from household paint and removing it from our gasoline supply in the late 70s and early 80s. However, we also see that there are sometimes huge disparities between the lead burden in different neighborhoods even today. So you might see, you know, parts of Wisconsin where you have almost 0% of kids getting tested and having an elevated reading. But then, you know, you'll see places in Milwaukee where the rate is up to 33 or 34%. Now, as a point of comparison, the children who were tested in Flint in the year after that fateful switch to this corrosive water source, about 5% of them had levels that the CDC considers elevated. So compare that to you know, parts of the north side of Milwaukee where you see 33% mm-hmm. of kids tested have high rates. And you can see the disparities like that. We see them in many cities across the country and in some rural areas, too.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of the pipes, is that also true of where these homes are located? Does it tend to be more older central city homes, or is it all over the place?
It does tend to be older homes. And, Kathleen, this is a particularly vexing problem because in this case we're talking about both a public responsibility and a private responsibility.
Right.
So what we have here is that for the water main running through the street, there's then a service line. From the water main, or the service line that connects from the water main to the curb stop is owned by the Milwaukee Water Works. But the remaining portion of the service line from the curb stop into the home is owned by the private homeowner. So the question becomes, to the extent that there's a mandate from City Hall to replace this lead service line, and this is at a cost of about $12,000 or so combined, roughly $7,000 on the private side, $5,000
wow.
on the public side, it depends. To what extent can disadvantaged homeowners in the city of Milwaukee afford a $5,000 bill? Right now, what the city has committed to do is to pay two-thirds of the cost of that with city general fund resources and to provide long-term loans at 0% interest for 20 years to pay off the remaining portion up to a cap of, I think, about $1,600. Mm. So the city is offering all sorts of assistance. But there's a question there, too. Number one, even with a low-income a zero-interest loan for an extended period of time, this is still a cost that is going to be difficult for some to incur. But more important, can the city, given the state of the city's finances, can the city really afford to maintain this commitment for all 70,000 residential lead service lines? Right now, that commitment's there. But we don't know the extent to which this can extend to all homeowners, potentially for the next 20 to 50 years.
Has work already started to replace those, Rob?
Yes. And so the policy, again, to the extent that leaks or damage is discovered, to the extent that there are nearby projects involving water mains or street excavation that is going to impact the service line, work has begun, and so lead service lines are being replaced. Also, for 2017, the city has a specific imperative to take care of 300 or 400 lead service lines at daycare facilities and other facilities that are serving large amounts of children. And so there will be roughly 300 or 400 or 500 replacements in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is to try to get up to about 1,250 replacements per year within the next 4 or 5 years, which would be a very nice goal to achieve. But when
right.
you think about it, even at 1,250 per year with 70,000, we're talking about an awfully long time, more than 50 years until we could replace all of them.
Mm. And is this going on elsewhere in other cities in the country where this replacement is happening? And are they finding financial difficulty, Joshua, as well?
Well, I know of one other example that's been written about some, and that's in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. Pennsylvania. And I know that they have a long-term plan to replace lead service lines. I think it's been written into law. But they, too, are grappling with the huge costs of that and some of the problems that Rob described. And, you know, only part of the lines are owned by the city. Then once it comes onto a landowner's property, you know, you need permission to actually get under the land and replace that line. And then, of course, the final stretch into, you know, sinks and plumbing within the home. Well, in older homes, many of those fixtures and pipes within the building also contain lead, and that is a danger as well. So just replacing service lines it doesn't completely insulate you from the
right.
risk. But certainly Pittsburgh is grappling with that as well.
We're going to welcome phone calls. We'll take them in a moment. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Rob Henkin is joining us here in Milwaukee, president of the Public Policy Forum, and we're looking at a major report that they did, which just came out in earlier this month, that looked at the problem of lead in service pipes, particularly that connect public water mains to private homes, how many of those need to be replaced, how expensive that could be. It's part of the second of a multi-part series on local government infrastructure, and we also need to break this down because it's going to hurt more some agencies more than others. They break it down to the wastewater treatment infrastructure owned by the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewerage District, the City of Milwaukee's Department of Public Works, and the city-owned Milwaukee Water Works self-financing water utility. So all those people have some of the cost, and we'll break that down some. But infrastructure is aging is the broader question here, and so there are going to be problems, and what do we do about it? How about federal money? Is there federal money coming into this? We'll ask that question as well, and welcome your phone calls at 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Email talk at WPR.org. Facebook is the Kathleen Dunn Show, and Twitter is at K Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network. All right, two phone calls for both our guests. Richard and Viroqua is first. Hi, Richard.
Hi, I'm calling from Viroqua. I'm just curious, you have 70,000 people getting lead-tainted water. What's the dosage they can take until there's dire consequences?
Rob?
So again, with a qualifier that I'm not a public health professional, I don't know that there are necessarily dosages. Again, the question is, are any particles from the lead pipes leaching into the water supply? And to the extent that they are, is that a public health threat? And I think certainly the feeling is that these lead pipes, again, they're not going to leach unless the water is not properly treated in the first place, as was the case, as Joshua mentioned, in Flint, or to the extent that there's some type of vibration or other disruption that causes the particles to leach. So I certainly wouldn't make the assumption that there are 70,000 homes with lead service lines where there are doses of lead in the water. But clearly, there's a risk there. And so in an ideal world, you're going to eliminate all risk and you're going to get rid of those lead service lines.
You want to second that?
Hello?
You know, there is an EPA threshold, which I believe is 15 parts per billion, and that is the testing threshold when water utilities test. They want to see the water within that limit or below that limit. But as we know, there's no safe level of lead in children's blood. Now, residents can have their water tested. There are lots of labs that are doing that. In some cities, I know New York is one of them, you can order a test kit from the city for free and send it in and get it analyzed. So for people who have concerns, there are filters, but also ways to test their water to see whether they're within that EPA threshold.
Mm-hmm. Did you have something else, Richard?
No, I just hope the problem's solved. It's so interesting that we have billions to give for weapons, and yet our citizens seem to be suffering. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. Well, Rob, we do have a problem with paying for infrastructure. We've got a lot of issues in the country, don't we?
We do. And there's been a significant amount of attention on the federal level to the fact that our Federal Highway Trust Fund has been insolvent at various points in time over the past 5-6 years. Here in Wisconsin, we're having a huge fight over the state transportation budget. There's been a lot less attention paid to local government infrastructure, and that's why the Public Policy Forum is undertaking a series of reports just to try to quantify this challenge. And it's pretty ominous. Again, in an earlier report, we looked at just local streets and bridges and county trunk highways and buses and found some pretty pressing needs there. In this report, we not only are looking at the Milwaukee Water Works, but as you had mentioned earlier, we're looking at the Sewerage District. We're looking at the City of Milwaukee Sewers. And in the end, these are homeowners and ratepayers in the City of Milwaukee who are going to have to absorb a lot of additional costs to take care of this aging infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned your guest tomorrow, Richard Florida. This is all connected to the extent that we have suburbs that are newer that don't have these problems. It's sort of, in many ways, it's increasing the mismatch that exists. And and so this is it's a big problem. You talked about federal assistance. I mean, that could be a big equalizer here if it's available, but we don't know whether it will be.
Yeah. And what about filters you can use? Are you recommending that some people get filters? Is that a good answer to this?
I know that the city of Milwaukee, it's the mayor and the public health commissioner, have recommended that to the extent that you have, you know, that you have lead service lines, that they recommend that you buy filters. I know there was an effort by the United Way of Milwaukee and Waukesha County, along with A.O. Smith, to provide free water filtration devices to homeowners. Mm-hmm. So yes, that is recommended.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much, Richard, for your call. Let's go to Carol in Milwaukee. Hi, Carol.
Hi. Thank you. I was wondering why in the heck we would use lead pipes when we knew from past history that lead poisoning contributed to the fall of the Roman Empire. I remember that from childhood. I looked it up on the Internet, and there's a bunch of websites, Washington Post, Science News, you know, so I don't understand. And there is no safe levels of lead, according to Science News and a couple other websites. You have any idea why? I mean, if we knew that, I remember that from childhood.
Joshua, what do you say to that?
You know, decades ago, I don't think that health watchdogs like the CDC had the same idea of what a safe level of lead was. So when lead was prevalent in paint and when it was being used in these pipes and still was being used in lead solder in pipes for decades after there were concerns, I think the CDC and other health authorities thought that, you know, you could have X amount of lead in your blood up to, let's say, 80 micrograms per deciliter and still be under the threshold for what might be considered poisoning and would have ill effects. Certainly, though, in more recent times, research has shown that there is no safe level of lead, and there's now a growing body of research that shows that even exposure below the threshold that the CDC now uses to designate an elevated level, and that is 5 micrograms per deciliter, can have an impact on long-term health. The impacts can include cognitive impairment, learning disabilities among children. Children are more susceptible to the effects of lead. They more readily absorb it into their bodies and brain. And so it is also a question of the changing perceptions and our changing knowledge base of what levels of lead are safe. And the bottom line is that there is no level of lead that is safe. Mm-hmm. That is something that I think is new.
Mm-hmm. What about the Roman Empire? Was it contributing to the downfall of the Roman Empire, Rob?
Well, I must admit, Kathleen, I'm a history major, but I can't answer that question.
I haven't heard that before.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much for your call, Carol. Our number is 800-486-8655. Doug in Madison. Hi.
Hi. I became interested in this topic, especially about Milwaukee, when I heard about Flint, and then there was some bit of news about Milwaukee, and then you literally can go to their website and find all this information about the poisoning of the children there, and you heard some of the numbers that were given. You know, in some of those neighborhoods, 34 and 36% of the kids were poisoned, and, you know, we wonder why they struggle to educate their kids and all the issues they have with the schools there when such a dramatic amount of kids were poisoned by this lead.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I saw in that is they quickly moved to abate the lead paint in the homes after that, and they were wildly successful, but they still couldn't bring that number down to zero, essentially. They weren't able to chase other forms of lead poisoning. They were only able to look at this indoor paint issue. More recently, the 16th Street Community Center sampled soil outside of the homes and found 20% of the homes that they tested had hazardous waste level concentrations of lead in their yards. These are areas where the kids would be playing and et cetera. So yet another way in which they could become exposed. And so it just seems like, you know, they said it's nowadays it's around 9%. Of the kids there have elevated levels of lead. I mean, that to me seems still ridiculously high. And we're talking about thousands of kids in Milwaukee that are being poisoned as we speak today. And it just seems like we could do a lot better job of triaging that situation. You know, to me, it would seem as though that you would literally test every kid and then figure out and rule out exposure pathways you know, to make sure that it isn't coming from the home or outside the home or the lead service line, instead of taking this piecemeal approach of, well, let's look at the pipes, well, let's look at the paint, you look at the whole kind of picture.
And do you have information? I know a listener sent us, I haven't had a chance to go through this, that Madison removed lead water pipes 15 years ago.
Yeah, I lived in Madison when they did that. I think they started maybe almost 20 years ago is when they started.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. They removed, as far as I know, they were on a goal to remove them all. Now, they may have had a smaller amount, you know, to deal with. I'm not sure, but they put it on the ratepayer or the homeowner. I know largely to do that. So, you know, I know that's difficult in Milwaukee. The other interesting tidbit about this is when the people were up in arms with this lead poisoning, there were lawsuits that were out there against the lead paint companies, and our legislature managed to write them an indemnification for that and essentially let the lead paint people off through legislation. Now, one could debate the wisdom of that, but clearly that, you know, you let the lead paint people off, but you still have to do something about this poisoning that's going on literally as we speak today, and again, at rates higher that are in Flint.
Mm-hmm. Rob, you want to respond first?
Well, first of all, yeah, there are communities like in Madison that were much more aggressive than our Milwaukee Water Works was, and there's a lot of reasons for that. Part of it is just the broader financial challenges facing city government as a whole. You know, I think there is an important distinction between lead in soil and the remnants of lead-based paint in homes and so on, and the lead water pipe issue. But certainly both demand aggressive strategies, and the question is, do you have the resources? And in the case of the lead service lines, it's not even just financial resources. Do you have the human resources?
Right.
And do you have the wherewithal? Again, what type of disruption would we be facing in the city of Milwaukee if you wanted to, if you had the capacity to go in and try to replace thousands upon thousands of lead service lines?
It's probably not easy to do that, is it?
It's not. It involves tearing up a whole lot of infrastructure, of local roads and streets and so forth. And so, again, there's a capacity problem here. It doesn't mean don't do it and don't be aggressive, but there are some practical considerations here.
Yeah. And I know you wrote also about the south side of Milwaukee in your piece, Joshua, and about lead problems, lead paint problems. What about lead in the soil?
Well, lead in the soil is something that we've seen in many areas across the country, including Milwaukee, including in parts of Indiana. There in East Chicago, Indiana, there was a housing complex that was built on top of a lead smelter there that's now supposed to be raised. But we found that kids in that area were testing high for lead as well. Our reporting really has focused on blood lead levels among children, and as Rob pointed out, as the caller pointed out, that doesn't necessarily mean that you can know how the child was exposed if they have a high blood lead level. At that point, the county and other public health officials have to go in and do their own investigation, and pediatricians have to support those things. When they get a high lead test back for a child, they have to caution the parents, and if it's high enough, then county officials come in and they do an environmental inspection in the family's residence, wherever the child hangs out, and try to determine the sources of exposure and either abate them or make sure that the exposure doesn't continue. But for people who are interested in looking at what the rates look like in their own backyards and in their own neighborhoods, I would encourage you to visit our website, where we have a nationwide map, and we've gathered data from about 30 or so states that can get you down to the neighborhood level, and you can see the rate of elevated blood tests among children tested at the neighborhood level in Wisconsin and other states.
And how do we do that again?
What you would do is, if you want to just Google, you know, Reuters lead map, that's R-E-U-T-E-R-S, you could, it'll take you there. And you can look by address. You can look at Milwaukee specifically. You can kind of hover over your own neighborhood, and you'll see the, we have the data, the data on high lead tests in your own neighborhood. But you should keep in mind that a lot of kids never get tested, and Wisconsin doesn't actually require that all kids be tested. Right. Some states do, other states don't.
Let's go back to Milwaukee for a moment, too. You had mentioned this chemical, Rob, that was used to, it was a corrosion-inhibiting chemical to drinking water to prevent lead pipes from corroding, and that's been added since, your article said, 1996. Is that, will that continue working for a while? Is that a good thing, or is it not effective anymore?
Well, I think that, again, this was sort of the rationale for why, for a long period of time, despite the fact that, again, in an ideal world, we would have started replacing these lead service lines. But the feeling was we don't have to go and replace because we're properly treating the water so that we're preventing this corrosion. And so the water is still being treated. But I think even with that treatment, the feeling is now much stronger that we want to get rid of these lead service lines.
Yeah. Doug, thanks very much for your call. Let's go to Nan in Madison. Hi, Nan.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I have a two-part question. The first is, we inherited some beautiful old dishes from my grandmother, and then you can just buy these little lead testing kits, and a lot of them were lead-based or lead-covered, whatever it is. I grew up eating off of those, and so I'm wondering how lead dishes might affect blood levels in children. And then the other part is, how do showers, like, can people absorb lead through showers also?
Who wants this one? Joshua, you want to start?
Sure. Well, listen, lots of products used to contain lots of lead. Some products still do. Some of them are imported products. Certainly a lot of old dishes and even crystal and glasses, the fine stuff contained lead. And they can be dangerous. And, you know, especially when you eat stuff like that has a high acidic content that could leach lead out of dishes or crystal or what have you. These are not the most common sources of exposure, but for every child exposed, the source might be a little different, and the effect is cumulative. So you could have some water concerns. You could have products in your home, including old antique products that might not be dangerous for kids or might not be safe for kids to eat off of. Then they could go and play outside, and there could be some lead in the soil. The effects of that are cumulative. So just kind of highlights why families need to be both aware and cautious with these products and with all of the different potential sources of lead exposure.
Rob, you want to respond?
There's really nothing I can add.
Okay. Thank you. Nan, you had something else?
I just wanted to know, is it harmful to just have the dishes sitting in the cupboard?
I don't think so. Of course, I am not a, I'm not a medical expert, but I don't think so. If they're decorative, I don't see any reason why that would be a concern. But if kids are eating off them or playing with them, that may be a concern.
Thanks very much for your call. Let's go to John in Lake Tomahawk. Hi, John.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm really kind of frustrated. I think it's a great topic, but I've worked with lead for many years, and I think people know that lead paint is a much bigger issue than any of the others. You know, we touched on lead paint,
right?
But most of the time has been on water and soil,
right,
and dishes. And by the way, it is known that the Roman Empire was affected by lead. They had wine stored in lead containers, and it leached into it, and they were drinking lead all the time. So I just throw that. But the lead in paint is the big thing. I think people need to know that is by far the biggest issue.
Mm-hmm. I think everybody would agree with that, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. I would concur, and that's why I said you do have to distinguish between the two issues, the water issue and the other environmental issue, which is primarily the lead-based paint.
Right. Joshua?
Totally agree. You know, Flint was notorious because of water, but it's also an outlier because of water. The bigger threat, and lots of experts would echo this, continues to be lead paint.
More phone calls in a moment if you'd like to join us. We have a couple lines open at the moment. 800-486-8655 is our number. Rob Henken is the president of the Public Policy Forum. They have just done a major report finding water and sewer infrastructure costs growing in Milwaukee. And also joining us is Joshua Schneer, who is an enterprise reporter at Reuters and wrote a piece dealing with lead paint mostly, but water concerns as well in cities in the country. Did I give you the number? I do it so often, I just forget. So I'll do it again. 800-486-8655. Email talk at WPR.org. We always like to read your messages on our Facebook page, which is The Kathleen Dunn Show. And we're on Twitter at KDunnShow. This is the Ideas Network. All right, more phone calls. Bob in Iola. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Kathleen, good show.
Thanks.
Hey, well, we're here and I'm beating a dead horse. This last guy called in and talked about the lead in the Roman Empire. I worked in public health a little bit back in the 80s, and one of the other chemists in the laboratory had done his master's degree on doing lead analysis of bones from the Roman catacombs.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, I mean, this has been scientifically documented 40 years, and that nobody knows about it. The problem is scientifically documented. The solution is political, and nobody wants to deal with that.
Why is the solution political?
Because all the scientists know that the lead causes all these retardation and other physical problems that mm-hmm. we've been talking about. But the solution being political, when you indemnify all the paint companies and say, you don't have any responsibility for what you've done in the past, and that's a political problem where the Republicans just point blank said, we're not going to deal with this problem. So do you hear what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying, Rob.
I guess I'd probably yield to Joshua on this one, given his greater expertise in the lead paint issue. Again, in terms of the politics on the lead service line issue, the dynamic here is there's, when you look at the local government responsibility to address this problem, and you take a look at how local government finances are structured in the state of Wisconsin, where local governments are very much dependent on state resources, and they are very limited in terms of the types of revenues that they can raise on their own. So there just isn't the financial capacity to address this. So this has to be a collective decision that we're not going to tolerate any risk from the presence of lead service lines. And I think that's what it's going to take to more aggressively get rid of these lead service lines as opposed to doing it over 50 or 60 years.
And what about federal monies available? Are there any?
There are federal grant programs. There has been talk as part of a Trump administration infrastructure plan of potentially significant chunks of money going to states and municipalities to specifically address lead service line issues. So that could be a potential plus, but a potential minus, solely from a financial perspective, not from a public health perspective, could be what if the EPA decides that that standard that it currently has for acceptable levels of lead in water should be made more stringent? That could force the hand of local governments that otherwise would gradually replace their lead service lines to have to do it much more quickly. And if the federal dollars to help them out aren't available, then the problem just grows by leaps.
Well, it's not likely to happen with the current EPA, though, is it?
Well, I would think that they're certainly headed in the opposite direction.
Right. Joshua, you want to respond to this?
Sure. Well, I mean, let's talk about law and money and politics here. In California, there is an ongoing big lead paint litigation, and there was a judgment against the paint companies. They are now appealing that judgment. The judgment was for $1 billion to indemnify for a public nuisance that this paint had created over the years. Depending on the outcome of that case, you could see other litigation in different states. I know they've tried it in Wisconsin in the past, and it hasn't gone forward. But we could see some changes on that front. In terms of money and politics, local health departments, including Milwaukee's health department and the state health department in Wisconsin, they take measures to attend to families whose children have tested high and have been exposed to lead. But, of course, they don't have unlimited resources, and they depend oftentimes on support from federal agencies, and those include HUD, and they include the EPA and the CDC. All of these agencies contribute funds and expertise and officials to helping states contend with their lead poisoning problems. Now, the latest version of the budget, the federal budget going around in Congress, and of course it is subject to lots of debate, substantially cuts these federal funds at HUD, at EPA, at CDC. And this raises the specter of far less funding being available to combat this problem at the local level, and far less cooperation between health authorities at the local level and federal authorities. So that's something that should give people concern.
Right. Thanks, Bob, for your call. And Dan in Madison. Hi, Dan.
Hello. Wonderful program.
Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, I work for the state lead program.
Oh, great.
In conjunction with a childhood lead program.
Oh.
If your listeners, if they want more information specific to Wisconsin, if they Google WI, hit their space bar, and type in lead, one of the first listings on that Google page will be the Lead Safe Wisconsin homepage.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a plethora of information about child lead poisoning, toy recalls, an incredible amount of data that's been generated right here in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
By location. So you can find, any city in Wisconsin, child lead poisoning affects every single county in the state. Mostly lead-based paint. I have enjoyed your guests today. They're quite well-versed.
Yes, they are.
Thank you.
I wonder if our guests have anything they'd like to ask you, having worked in the field in Wisconsin. Rob, Joshua?
Well, I guess for me, it's, there's a lot of action right now in the state legislature as part of this budget process. The city of Milwaukee in particular, I know, was pushing for legislation that would allow this private side of the equation, the homeowner cost, to actually be able to be taken care of by the water utility and then have that cost shared among the ratepayers collectively as part of their water bills, instead of being solely the responsibility of the private homeowner or the city's general fund resources. So I'm wondering if the caller has any insight as to, or any thoughts as to, whether that would be good policy what the odds are that it might be adopted.
What do you say, Dan?
Well, I'm more of a worker bee. I don't have much effect on policy, but I know that we as an agency collectively do inspections of the lead abatement contractors to make sure that they're working lead safe and they have properly trained people, and it's a very busy job. Milwaukee's quite busy right now as far as dealing with lead-based paint.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you very much for your call and for giving us that site.
Not a problem.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Okay, let's go to Roger in Milwaukee. Hello, Roger.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been drinking Milwaukee water off a lead lateral for 35 years, and I had my blood tested recently, and I'm only at one-third the permissible exposure limit. So I don't see why they're telling people to put a filter on their faucet or run the faucet water before they take cold water, at least for adults.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of better safe than sorry. And again, I it's going to depend on your own home. It's going to depend on what is the condition of the pipes within your home that has nothing to do with the lead service line. But I think your experience is a good one. We shouldn't assume that the drinking water in Milwaukee is unsafe just because you have a lead service line. But we should assume that you should probably get your water tested and that you should get yourself tested if you have any doubt.
Yeah. And in Milwaukee, to have your water tested, is that still available to people?
It is available. I don't know the details, but I do know that the Milwaukee Water Works website has plenty of information on this.
Right. Thank you both very much for being with us. Very informative. We didn't get as much as we should as to how in the world we're going to pay for all of this, but that remains a question. We're not sure what the answer to that is. Our thanks to Rob Henkin, president of the Public Policy Forum, and we thank you, Joshua Schneer, for being with us as well.
Enterprise, thank you, Kathleen.
Yeah, our pleasure. Enterprise reporter at Reuters. And he's been covering a lot of different issues, including childhood lead poisoning. Thanks very much to Gretchen Brown for producing this hour, and thanks very much to Colleen Leahy for doing all the on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. Just a reminder that we'll be with you again tomorrow, and after one tomorrow, a report from the Milwaukee Health Department looking at the city's overall infant mortality rate dropping since 2000, but there is a persistent racial gap in infant mortality rates, and we will talk about that and why that is the case tomorrow during our 1 o'clock hour. Thanks very much for listening. News is coming up.